Hi, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our Wednesday live stream, live streaming across the known universe, live streaming towards one of those incoming asteroids. And we're going to try and deflect that asteroid and save Earth. So take that one, NASA. Lots of stuff to talk about. But as always, hi, John Mercer. Good to see you on the YouTubes. I want to just double check that the streams are all working here. So let me just jump. I see YouTube's working fine. Let me just double check that the Getterverse is connected. Looks like it is. So that'll be cool. So I can see if you want to, if you want to drop your chats in the box, then you know what to do. Whoops. Just trying to get everything organized here. So I can not only, I can see you wherever you are. Yes, John Mercer points out, we are the most pro-vaccine, pro-Biden, pro-EU, pro-climate change, pro-immigration platform on YouTube. Hello, YouTube. It's an alternative universe, you know. It's an absolute alternative universe over on the YouTubes. I don't even bother streaming this one on Facebook. Sorry to all my Facebook pals, but it's a waste of time doing anything over there. So listen, I hope this all finds you well, wherever you are. Hello to Simon Knight. Hello, Sean, Tally, Scotland the Brave, our, my good friend, Old Baz, Canadian Mom. Yes, good to see all you folks. And, of course, Albert, a great supporter of the platform. Before we get into the, there's so much stuff we're going to cover here. We're going to talk about the exploding Nord Stream pipeline, of course. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about lots of other stuff as well. But I want to chat about that. The Nord Stream one fascinates me, actually. I've been really interested in this one because someone says, what are you drinking there? My beverage of choice is just a coffee, just a little espresso, a double espresso. I think it's a triple espresso, actually, because if I'm going to cope with you lot for the next hour, I'm going to need something. So I'm on a triple espresso coffee here. So that's why whenever I'm finished, I'm really, really, I'm buzzing. I'm literally buzzing with all kinds of excitement. So yeah, say good evening. And suffice to say, I missed it earlier, but our producer, of course, Jed, who's joining me at the stream, I did remind you that if you want to support the platform, I was very pleased to see that the Free Speech Union and Daily Skeptic and Toby Young have been re-platformed by PayPal. If you want to support me, you can do that by going to Donor Box, drop a dollar in the Donor Box, or buy me another coffee. Thanks for this one, guys. It's not an Irish coffee, Tally B. It's not, perhaps it should be. And also, by the way, we'll talk about the shop later on. We'll finish in the shop, I think. Canadian Mom, great to see you here. Dreamer says, you're going to need more than that, David. Yeah, but I didn't say what else was in the coffee, did I? So, yeah, we're going to... We've got to chat about that. We're going to talk about the twindemic. Oh, we've got so much stuff to talk to you about. The deadly twindemic that is set to afflict us. I'm sure you may or may not have seen him stuff I put out that. And then finally, we're going to talk about Virgin going woke. All will be revealed. All will be revealed. So I hope you'll find this worthwhile anyway for the next 60 minutes. Strap in and as we get ourselves going. So first of all, I should, of course, because it's a Wednesday, I should introduce and bring on screen my compatriot in crime, in thought crime. He's going to the gulag as well as I am, and that is Jed. So Jed, if you're there, show yourself.
Good evening, David. Good evening, everybody. Notice how we are no longer in support of Ukraine in the background.
Well, I've you
know, we still have it, but I'm just not in support anymore.
Yeah, you see, I mean, listen, Jed, we gave Zelensky all the help we could get. We've done everything apart from blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. Ooh. And someone else has done that, but we'll get to that. We've got all the stuff we want to talk through. Canadian Mom says they've now genetically modified mosquitoes that have successfully vaccinated people for malaria. All right, Woody Bird 63 says, "Hi y'all, just back from 3 weeks teaching in Uganda. Missed you too as well." T says, "Tell Gemma I said hi from Offaly. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. I did a show with Gemma O'Doherty last night, which is good fun. Good. I mean, we think very similar, so there's not a lot of debate between us. But we I guess we are both respective forces of nature. So it was very entertaining. Right, Jed. I want to start off. I know I jump about a bit, but you're able to cope with me. I think the big story of the past 24 hours, I think, has been what's been happening in the Baltic Sea underneath those waters, where Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I'm just looking at some of them. We got such great content lined up for you guys. It's really good. Where the Nord Stream 2 pipeline runs. And as you know, Nord Stream 2 was the pipeline essentially financed by Gazprom and the German government. Hi, Chris Davies, my friend. Good to see you. It's always great to have you with us, Chris. Thanks so much for your support too, by the way. And Brian Boru, a good Irish name. Could you have a more Irish name than Brian Boru? Metal Guru. That was, that was T-Rex, wasn't it?
You could have Paddy.
Yeah.
Mick. I'm sorry. Sorry. Am I stereotyping, David?
Yeah, you've just racism. You've racism.
I must be in the Labour Party then.
That means if you set foot in Ireland in the next 3 years, Jed, you're going to jail.
Yeah, but I'll be okay in the Labour Party.
Well, yeah. So listen, Jed. So this Nord Stream story broke, and I remember, Jed, when it broke. I think we got actually. Is this footage of it, or is this mainstream media coverage of it? Oh yeah, mainstream. I think, Jed. I don't know if I sent you a video of the actual. So the actual.
Bear with me, I'll find it. I do apologize.
So, Jed's trying to find it. So as you know, what happened is that the pipeline itself. The pressure dropped to zero last night, to zero, which is, something's gone wrong. And then we heard it was reported by, I think it might have been the Swedes or the Danes, I think it was initially, that, there was two loud explosions heard. And I remember thinking, well, you know, I'm a reasonable man. Could it be an accident? Because accidents will happen, Chris Davies, as you well know. Accident, but it wasn't an accident. And then I thought, well, could it be a malfunction? You know, although I don't know what could malfunction in a pipeline. Nah, duh. And then, of course, it became, here we go, folks. This is it. Welcome to the Baltic.
Hey, that's my whirlpool bath, David.
I know.
Yeah, it's my spa.
Don't tell anyone, Jed. Don't tell them that.
My spa's full of gas as well. Too many tins of beans.
Well, I'm afraid in the Baltic, they must have been consuming a lot of beans because that's a lot of stuff. So we've seen that, Jed. We've seen the whole sort of evidence that there's no more gas going to Europe, which is a bit of bad luck because it started to cool down across the European landmass. Now we are about to enter October, and places like Germany, for example, where this pipeline runs to the northern coast, ain't getting any more Russian gas. Zero. And of course, and then guys, the question is, who done it? Who did it? Now, Jed, we have in the spirit of openness and transparency, which is our hallmark, I stuck a poll up on my Getter, and it's actually pinned at the top of Getter. And I'm so pleased about the result of this poll, because if nothing else, it shows that you guys think like me and I think like you. So we are as connected. So, Jed, can we bring up the result of the David Vance poll? There we go. Let's do this. So who do you think's responsible for blowing up Nord Stream 2, Jed? And as you can see, 90% reckon it's US or NATO or some variation thereon. 90% of you guys. 3.5% if you are clinically insane, I'm sorry to hear. And another 6%. So there we go, 90%, Jed. Tell me, Jed, did the result surprise you? And what message did it send to you, Jed, given that the media is telling us it's super duper 100% Putin in a wetsuit going down and personally planting the explosives on the side of the pipe. What did you think of the poll?
First of all, the poll is absolutely spot on. Because why would you, when all you have to do is turn the valve off to cut the flow of gas to the European Union and Europe as a whole?
Why
would you then blow it up? What's the point? What does that achieve? If you didn't control the valve, then yes, blow it up. But if you control the valve, why blow it up? Now, who doesn't control that valve? Well, I'll tell you what, let's go through all those that don't, or should we go through all those that do control that valve? Which is the shortest list? I think if we go for all those that control the valve, my answer is Russia.
Yeah.
Why would it blow up its own pipeline?
Well, you see, the, for some reason, Guy, Jed, and everybody watching, guys, the media has overlooked that very, very obvious point. The other thing they've overlooked is a speech given by the esteemed Joe Biden, the most popular president ever. And I don't know if we can bring this one up, but this, Jed, this was back in, I think it was the 7th of February. This was Biden talking just before the conflict started between Ukraine and Russia. And so he was asked the question.
You mean before the CIA started the conflict? I've got it ready to go, David. Here we go.
So, guys, you know, just imagine for one moment you're Sherlock Holmes and you've got this mystery to solve, right? Here's a clue I'm thinking. Tell me what you think. If you can play it, Jed, it would be good.
Let me answer the first question first. If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Jed, I think we might have found a culprit. I don't know what you think, but, you know, he did say that it was Nord Stream 2 would be ending. It has ended. So do we blame Putin? What do you think, Jed?
Well, the mystery deepens, David. And, you know, what we've got to remember is truth and facts are now disinformation. Mm-hmm. So remember that. Okay, so remember when the media tell you the truth and the facts that it's Russia who blew its own pipeline up, remember that's disinformation.
Can I just say aloha to Donnie Girl all the way over in Hawaii? Great to see you here, Donnie Girl. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, truth is misinformation. That's obvious. And hello again to YouTube. Truth is misinformation. So, and hello also to H.W. Logan all the way from Idaho. Potato country, if I recall. I mean, Biden said, Jed, that America would end Nord Stream 2 if there was an invasion across the, or an incursion across that border with Ukraine. And we've had it. But for me, Jed, and this is a serious point, I mean, it's okay to laugh at it and right to laugh at it, but it is a massive escalation. It's a massive escalation. And the people here are going to lose out. And I see guys on several of the streams are saying the same point, Jed. Germany in the first instance suffers because it's going to be a cold, cold winter.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be absolutely Baltic, to put it politely. You know, it was said in one of the comments here, it's going to be absolutely Baltic. There we go, by T. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, anybody that propagates the fact that Russia did this to themselves, as a propaganda piece, is absolutely deluded. So that's all your Sky News's, your BBC's, your ITV's, certainly your Channel 4's, I was nearly sick then because I said Channel 4. Oh, there again.
Your CNNs, your MSNBC.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all your mainstream, all the paid media, they're all paid for. And they'll do the bidding of, in the United States, they'll do the bidding of Biden. And in the UK, they'll do the bidding of whoever's in power.
Although I'm sure, Jed, our American friends might have noticed that again in the past 12 hours or so, Tucker Carlson, in all fairness, has come out and raised some serious questions, basically going down the same line that we're going down, namely that the United States, one way or another, you know, maybe three removed or whatever, but was the force behind this. Because, Jed, you made the brilliant point, and I've seen, you know, a few other people have made it, that if the Russians just wanted to banjax the Europeans in terms of gas supply, they'd just turn it off. They wouldn't blow up. Why on earth would they blow up their own infrastructure? So, Donegal, I think this is the cabal. I think it's the NATO stroke US probably most likely culprits. And by way of that, evidence is Joe Biden's speech. Joe Biden said that he would do this, and it's happened. And yet we have this ludicrous position where the Western media, Jed, as you say, I mean, the British media, it's so pathetic in this. It's saying, yeah, it was definitely Putin. I mean, as I said, and I was only sort of half joking, I'm surprised they haven't surmised that, oh yeah, we've got video evidence of Putin putting on his frogman suit, jumping off the side of a boat with the explosives in each hand, going down, sticking them on the pipeline to blow it up. This is a sort of misinformation that people are being exposed to. So I'm thankful to Tucker Carlson. But apart from, Jed, people like us on the alternative media, you know, the normies are getting the message, yeah, this is Russia escalating the conflict against
It's all those that go along with the current thing, David. So, you know, you can see them. We've seen them now, really, since, 2016 in the UK. And the same in the US, actually, you know, because it was the same year that Trump was elected. But since then, and it's grown since then. But what you get is your normies. Whatever the current thing is, they're in on it. You know, so whether it's hate Trump, great. Whether it's hate Brexit, great. Whether it's masks, whether it's queuing up, you know, social distancing, queuing up for your 64,000 jab that is effective like there is no tomorrow. It's the 100%. Most effective jab in history.
Yeah,
we know that because all our Lord or Fauci told us. He shall be obeyed. But and it's those people, David. It's the same people that sit in front of the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news channel, whatever it is, and just suck all this in. Oh yeah, it's Russia, it's Russia. The reason I'm paying a fortune for my electric is because of Russia. No, it's not. The reason the my food in the supermarket is pricing me out of it, pricing me into a diet. That's what it's doing. It's pricing me into a diet, and it's doing that because of Russia. No, it's not. It's doing that because we've just had 2.5 years of every single bank on this planet printing money to keep you at home, to do nothing. That's why there's shortages. That's why there's mass inflation. That's why fuel's going through the roof. Yeah, it's not because of Russia.
Now, H.W. Logan, I see. Hi, Melissa, by the way. Good to see you. H.W. Logan says maybe it's the EU. They said they had tools. They had tools to keep Italy in line after meeting with Poland. I don't think so, Jed. I think
they have tools.
Tools
to keep people in line.
Yeah, I think those are located in the Brussels Parliament. The tools that they have. I don't think so, H.W. Logan. I think that this would be an operation, and we've seen them before throughout, you know, a lot of years, many decades. It requires a degree of sophistication. And of course, it also requires a total deniability. So whoever did it, it's going to be very difficult to find out who did it. It just wouldn't be. But it does move us closer and closer, you know, to more conflict, to more kinetic war.
No, it does, but it moves us also into that realm of, and you've got 3 hours ago on your getter. That's what we just spent 2.5 years doing.
Good one, that, isn't it?
It is. But that's what I've just found out. You'll get a bit. That's what we've been doing. And the idea is, look, when we get to the point where nobody can afford a mortgage, nobody can afford a car, and if you can't afford a car, you can't afford to fill it and drive it, because for one, we'll have lockdowns. If you drive petrol or diesel, you'll be in lockdown. You won't be able to drive. But if you have an electric car, you'll be able to drive. But we can't charge the electric car because we can't produce enough energy. Why? Because we're now forcing you to stay at home for all the population that has petrol and diesel. You see how it's a vicious circle? I tell you what we'll do. We'll put you in a smart city. We'll give you little shuttles that go from A to B, and all you do is jump on them. Your food, your vegetables will be green. Okay, your meats will be red. It'll be all manufactured stuff, and that's your life. You'll own nothing, and you'll be you see how I fell into it, David? You'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah, I think though things are speeding up, and I think that in a way, I mean, we're going to talk about COVID in a minute. We're going to move on to the twindemic in a minute, actually. But I think they are speeding it up, Jed. I mean, I know it probably not happening for US friends, but here in the UK, we've had a kind of a currency collapse since Friday of last week. And that means that the mortgage rates are going to dramatically increase. And that means that a lot of folks, Jed, in the UK, by the middle of next year, I would think it'll take to that time, they will find that they can no longer pay their mortgages to keep their homes. And I think that's the plan. I think, Jed, the idea is that, you know, you basically put them against the wall. They cannot pay the mortgage. So what happens then is the bank steps in and says, don't worry about it. We'll take ownership of your home. So it's our house, but we let you live in it as long as you pay us rent. And that, Jed, I think is just all part of the 2030 WEF narrative of dispossessing people from their home.
So when you've got your home and you've got your three, you know, your 2.4 kids at home, that's great because you'll get the 3 or 4 bed house. But as they move, because now the government's on your bank or on your house, they'll go, oh, you will have to downsize because that home is now allocated to, you know, a family that's got children. And that's what it'll be. You'll be shuffled around because it's not yours, so you don't own it, so you have no attachment.
Well, yeah, and actually, just on that point, and it's something that Gemma and I didn't talk about last night, but it is actually relevant. Believe it or not, in the Irish Republic, if you and our Irish friends in the stream will be aware of this, if you have a house, like a rent, if you're a landlord and you've got an empty house, if you rent that out to an immigrant family, right, you will be paid more than if you rented it out to, you know, an Irish family in need, which is something else. And that's what's, and Irish friends will confirm this because I've actually seen the documentation. So YouTube, we're stating facts. We're not speculating here. This is actually how it is. I also think we're going to head Jed to a property crash as well.
Absolutely.
Canadian mom is saying that this could be a global one, though, Jed, because she says...
No, I agree. It by design.
An average home in Canada is now worth $850,000. Is that even $50,000, or is that Canadian dollars, which is entertainingly called the loonie? I wonder which is it. Is that loonies or is it US dollars? Either way, it's a hell of a lot. I remember, actually, Canadian mom looking to... I considered buying an apartment in Toronto, and it was about going to be $250,000. But that was some years ago. Hello to Gemma, by the way. Great to see my friend Gemma O'Doherty in the stream. Gemma's telling me it's higher. If you hire the foreign over the Irish, you pay less tax. So Jed, this is the collapse of our nations being engineered in front of us, absolutely in front. It's Canadian dollars. Thanks. I'm not sure with the exchange rate. By the way, Jed, did you notice that? I wonder if other people noticed this, that we're getting to the point where one US dollar equals 1 euro equals 1 British pound, more or less, not exactly, but more or less. And isn't that such a, Such a imagine you were wanting to bring in a global digital
currency.
Yeah, ooh. Imagine.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's like
you'd have to have parity with all the currencies that you currently have.
Well, there's the U.S. economy, the world's major economy, European economy, major economy, British major economies, and all their currencies are oddly enough at the same amount. Canadian mom's telling me Toronto homes are well over $1 million now. That's annoying me, Canadian mom. I should have bought. Should have bought them. What put me off is it gets so cold in Toronto in the winter. It's really cold there. I know.
There's many places in Canada that get cold. I've been to Bathurst. I've been to Alberta. But it also it gets extremely hot too.
I love Canadian. I love Canadians. I despise Justin Castro and the rest of them. But a lot of good Canadian folks. So I think we probably need to move it along a little bit. But look, the thing is that the whole shenanigans in the Baltic are not good, and it's like they just want war. And as I put up earlier today, and I know it's a cliche, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. And that's why I oppose
conflict. Say it again, David. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I can never resist a musical reference, by the way. I'm a sucker for music. So anyway, so that's what's happening there. So I just think we have the usual massive global danger of NATO, the global predator, and it's active in the Baltic, and it seems to want more and more. Right. Well, don't worry about it, because, friends, it's okay. If you think that's bad enough, I have to break it. It's hard to break this news to you, but I have to. And that is a twindemic is on the way, a deadly twindemic. And as I put out earlier today, we live in clown world, and we literally live in clown world. And I want to play you a small video if Jed can get it brought up. I'll just check in the background when he's ready. But I put this up, I think about 3 weeks ago, and it had been sent to me. And it's a wonderful satire on the whole business of, fear and COVID. And,
is this on your getter, David?
This was Jed. If you check on our own communication over on Signal, you'll see it was sent there. I can resend it if you don't have it. But
I don't. I have a screenshot if that's what you mean.
Righty-o. Okie dokie.
Sorry, guys, while David does that, I'll keep you entertained, I suppose.
Proving our ability to multitask. Let me just sort this one out. So, Jed, you talk quietly. You talk there. You entertain people.
I will talk quietly. I'll walk softly and carry a big stick, as the saying used to go. Whatever, you know what I mean. See, I get all tongue-tied now, David. Now I'm on the spot.
Actually, Jed, I'm just wondering, the best place to find this might be on my TikTok channel. Did you know I'm on TikTok? Yeah, guys.
I didn't know you're on TikTok, David.
I'm determined to share with my good friends in the Chinese Communist Party all my very hostile stuff to the entire world. If you get me on the David Vance on TikTok, see if you can hop over onto TikTok and you'll see the clown video. So Canadian mom, thank you so much. I appreciate that. We do have if you can find me, Jed, let me see, maybe I need to help you find me. So I decided to set up shop on TikTok as well as
YouTube. You get that one quite, David, because usually you get in touch with me and said, Jed, I want to set up on TikTok. I've set up on TikTok, but I'm not sure I've done it right.
Yeah, well, I have done it right.
All right. So
it's so that the Chinese spies can access my every...
I found you, David.
So hi, Claude says my kids are on TikTok and this TikTok. They say it's only for kids. Hey, Claude, I'm down with the kids, right?
Despite you are on TikTok, David.
There we go. There you go, folks. Go and follow me. As I say, it's a bit like my live streams and Getter. It's a stealth TikTok. But if you go down to the clown, so back to Twindamic. Let's see if we can play this for the folks, and then we're going to talk about
this one, David.
Yeah, that one there is. This is great. Watch this. Just watch this if you can.
100 times now. Uptake for the second booster isn't great, Monkey Boy. Numbers are free falling. Older generations are more clever than you give them credit for, then. They shouldn't be this savvy, though, surely. We need to get jibby jabbies into wrinkly old arms. We need incentives. What to offer them?
How about an apology for duping them into taking the first three?
Oh, ha ha ha, Monkey Boy. This is bloody serious. Pharmaceutical companies aren't making nearly enough money.
I suppose there's also a real danger that you doctors won't have as lavish a Christmas as you did the last 2 years.
Exactly. But less important than that, there's a surge coming.
What, of bullshit, propaganda, and lies?
A surge. A twindemic. A surging twindemic. A twin surge-demic.
Of what?
Winter flu. And COVID. A tag team of absolute bastardry on an unimaginable scale. We'll likely call it COVID-flu or flu-ovid or something catchy like that.
Flu-ovid? When they eventually make a film about this period of absolute insanity, they could call it One Flu-ovid, the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, you won't be so smart when it comes, Monkey Boy. It's going to be a winter of death. Not only for unjabbed elderly, but also for triple, double, and single jabbed. The great unwashed. They're all anti-vaxxers in my eyes.
Flu-ovid won't be responsible, though. They're far more likely to freeze to fucking death while counting how many woodlice they have left to eat.
Oh, believe me, Flu-ovid will have been responsible by the time the media have finished working their pharma-funded magic. The Crumblies will take their medicine. I will get my bonuses. Now, what to offer these stubborn bastards?
D-dimer tests to check if their blood's microclotting? What about promising that you won't pump them full of midazolam if they fucking sneeze?
Can't promise that. What you've just described is protocol, after all. What is it that the Crumblies like?
To be left alone so that they can spend their final years free of fear, bullying, and experimentation?
What about if they take their second booster and survive it, will allow them to enjoy this cold, dark, hungry Christmas in relative peace, promising not to badger them about their third booster until early January? Sound fair?
Yeah.
100
So there you go. So I know I've shared that before, but I mean, it's a brilliant piece of work. And by the way, that person in the clown outfit, I believe, is an actual doctor. So interesting. What do you say? Jed, I remember watching that and thinking it's superb. It's so well done. Yes, Dr. Watson and Monkey Boy are fantastic. David J., they absolutely are. They're fantastic because they're prophets. Because, okay, so you heard them talk about, yeah, it's going to be flu, it's going to be COVID, it's going to be a twindemic. Jed, can we bring up a headline then from, if you got one of the headlines I stuck through, because in the UK media today, oh, look, Jed. Warning to 30 million Brits as COVID and flu cases set the surge in winter twindemic. Honestly, at this point, I need to give up because there's no difference between satire and reality.
David, they tested us out with COVID for control of the populace. And, you know, it just drives me up the wall. It really doesn't. It really frustrates me because there are so many... There are plenty of people waking up to this. Yeah. There are people waking up and going, oh, hang on. And I've sent you a few videos, particularly GB News is doing, I think, doing for what it can under the regulations, is doing a great job. Okay. Yeah. Of exposing this. And
Mark Stein.
But the point is, you know, this is about control. How much control are the public willing to take? Now, you could say, well, initially, did they overstep the mark with COVID as a whole for the 2.5 years? Well, you could argue, yes, they did. And this is why there's a bit of pushback. So what they'll do is they'll slowly bring it. So this year it'll be twindemic. Next year it'll be quaddemic. Year after it'll be whatever comes after quad, you know. And we'll have optidemic, you know, in 8 years' time. And it'll just keep on going. And each time, they'll take just that little bit more of freedom away from you, just that little bit more control over what you do. You know, wait till we have lockdowns over climate change. Wait till we have restrictions on your petrol and diesel car. You could only go travel on, you know, days of the week that are odd numbered. Yet electric cars. Now, I just want to say, I just got mentioned electric cars, and I know you're into this, and I know it's slightly off topic, David, but it's not, because again, this is about controlling the populace. If you get your electric car now and you have a charger built in at home, you have to have it on a separate meter. At the moment, charging at home is pennies, really. Pennies in the pound to charge your car compared to a public charger. But why do you have to have your charger that's fitted on your property hooked to a different meter? And I'll tell you why. Because they'll soon start to rack up the tax and the price of that. And you'll be paying very much the same as you pay for a public charging for your electric car. You'll be doing that at home because you'll be being taxed on that as fuel, as road duty, fuel duty.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely part of the scam. By the way, I saw the comment there come up from Canadian. Who has it said this? Yeah, H.W. Logan said, that's why we have two arms, Jed. One for the flu shot and one for the COVID shot. Haven't you heard?
Oh, no. He's taking the mic over there, David. I remember in the first Gulf War, Christmas 1990, I'm in the desert, and every single day we had to queue up for a jab of some kind or another. And it was a question of, what did you have the jab? Which arm did you have yesterday's jabbing? My right arm, or today's your left? And it was like that for about 3 or 4 weeks, every single day being jabbed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in retrospect, Jed, that can't have been good. It cannot have been good.
Well, but it wasn't just that. It was all the tablets you were taking as well. Anti-nuclear, anti-biological weapon tablets type things that have never been tested. Not even on a few people. We were the first human beings that had ever had that. And when people say Gulf War syndrome doesn't exist, I've never had it. I've been fortunate, but I do believe it does exist, and that is the reason why.
I like the comment from I Fly Like an Eagle. She says, I have twin boys, so already had my twin demic. Boom. Good one. The reality on this situation is that at the moment there's a big effort on here in the UK to get everybody to get their flu jab and to get their COVID jab. And I saw in the media today, they were saying that this is a really good idea to get them both at the same time, Jed. And remember, we're on YouTube, so hello, YouTube. We're get them both at the same time because, you know, they can plunge one into your right arm, plunge the other one into your left arm, and then you've got that much needed efficacy. And we know how effective these are. In fact, they're 100% efficacious.
They are, mate. They are. But I must point out, and I did send you a couple of videos on this, there is quite a large campaign now to stop it happening in children.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
They want to stop happening in children because of the sort of platform we're speaking on. But there is a campaign now to stop it in children. And you know what I mean by that.
Well, those of you who listened to me on Monday night, I had on with me the Swiss epidemiologist, Dr. Laurence Villard, and she was making it clear that in her professional opinion, this is a professional scientific opinion, she believed that there was no reason for any young person to be exposed to the jibby jab. But hey, I mean, what do we know? People like TV doctor, Dr. Hillary Jones and people like that, people like Lorraine Kelly, they know so much more than most. Yes, there we go. Don't know if you saw that one with Laurence, really nice lady. I don't necessarily totally agree with all that she says, but she was, when it comes to the issue of kids, she'd said that she got her 99-year-old mother to take the jab on what she saw as the balance of risks. The interesting question, of course, being, has she taken the jab? And I don't want to talk about her status because that's her private business. But I suspect her vaccine status, Jed, is the same as yours and it's the same as mine. And I suspect it's the same as most people watching this, which would be, that's right, zero. So, which is the correct amount. Some people might think, not that I'm giving medical advice, YouTube. So, what's this? Louise Richards is saying here, we'll see.
I've seen this, David. Yeah.
On the tube, he went to George's car and the plug had been cut and it was for the copper wire inside worth, right?
David, this is happening at the dealers as well, you know, like Porsche and BMW, buy an electric car. You can actually go to their premises and charge your car for free, for example.
Yeah.
So this person, I've seen this video, actually. This person went, I think it was Porsche. So he went to Porsche and said, oh, look, there's a non-electric car parked in the bay for charging cars. And they went, I know. He said, well, can you get out and move it so I can charge my car? They went, no, because it's not working. Went, well, why is it not working? Because they've cut the cable for the copper. And they said, well, how much? Well, and the guy explained, that's worth 70 quid. But it's thousands, something like 80,000 to get it replaced and repaired.
In the charger, in the electric
charger. So the big lead that comes out to the charger.
Yeah.
And they're even doing that now with cars that are on charge. All they're doing, because the car will tell you if it's on charge or not. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you can look at an electric car and go, yeah, it's charging. Great. But when it's finished charging, it's the power stops. And they're going along then and cutting the cable. And nicking off with the cable to wade in for the copper.
I didn't know that. There you go, folks. Breaking news. Who knew? Well, Jed, honestly, as I said to Gemma last night when we were on the stream together, I'm at the point where nothing surprises me, but I hadn't heard that. And the alarming thing for me is, you know, what sort of a car I drive. And I'm going to have to check that someone doesn't steal my copper cable. By the way, I don't drive an electric car. I wouldn't be so stupid. But I do have a hybrid. Anyway, the deadly twindemic, it's coming down the track. And the experts are telling us that this is a time to take multiple more jabs because the first, second, third, well, they mightn't have done the job. The fourth one definitely 100% will. And don't worry about adverse reactions. And sure as hell, don't worry about things like death.
No, because there's none of that.
They're safe. And we need to get this message out on the YouTubes, don't we? Meanwhile,
absolutely. But just like, I know you're going to go on to the next topic, but just like, again, one more with electric cars, just like, it's so cheap now to charge your electric car. It's actually about 18 pence per mile for you to charge it, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
That far outweighs doing the same for petrol at 19 pence per mile. Oh, hang on. Oh, where's the difference gone? If it's 18 pence per mile for electric and it's only 19 pence per mile for petrol, why do I need to spend an extra £20,000 on a fully electric car and I can just buy the petrol car and pay the extra 1p per mile?
Oh, I don't.
But that's what it's actually costing them at the moment, David. This is it. It's not just the fact that, for example, in California, they went, everybody must get an electric car. Oh, sorry, you can only charge your car or you can't charge your car between 4 and 9 p.m. Yeah. Now, the cost of charging your car, now bear in mind, charging your car in the UK is not taxed. It's tax-free. It's VAT-free. It's road tax-free. Or fuel duty free. If you add on that, it's actually costing you more than it would cost you for petrol or diesel.
Yeah, yeah, Jed. This is the same scam that they're pulling, by the way, on the whole environmental front, on the wind turbine front. So I was told today that the companies that operate and they're large multinational companies who run these big farms, wind farms, destroying our environment everywhere, right? What I'm told is that apparently, Jed, the price per gigawatt that the that these wind farms charge is the same as that produced by, say, gas, by the hydrocarbon methods. So the wind farms are making an absolute fortune. An absolute fortune. Yeah.
But the thing is, right, if we went fracking now, once you've drilled and you've capped and you're pulling out the gas underneath the earth, you're talking a site about the size of a football pitch. And that will power X amount. Yeah. So if you take, and I can't remember what the numbers are, but for that size, yeah, and the power that you get out of the ground, to match it, you need 10 times the amount of space to generate the same amount of energy if you're using renewables.
Yeah, and what happens when the wind doesn't blow?
Oh, well, don't worry. Don't worry, because Boris had this sorted, because he knew that we could produce on the best windy day 30 gigawatts or whatever it is.
Yeah,
he was going to up that to 40. That's brilliant for when the wind blows. I tell you when the wind blows in my house, when I've had too many beans.
I know you're in a bean mode tonight, but the point is, it's a scam. This is the whole scam.
It's a scam.
The renewable thing is a scam. And I see Gemma saying here in the stream, talking to all the fools who thought living next to a wind farm would bring cheap electricity. No, Gemma, you're right. And Jed, as we all understand, the whole point about renewables, it's not that we're going to get cheaper power or greener power. It's just that they want to cripple us and move us back into medieval ages.
Yeah.
Wind power is essentially medieval. I saw a quote, again, a thing from my friend Paul Burgess, who we've had on the stream, as you know, Jed. And he was quoting, I think it was Ed Miliband, former leader of the Labour Party, who opened up one of these big wind farms. And he said at the time of opening it that this wind farm would produce enough energy to power 78,000 houses on the days when the wind blew. Paul was measuring most recently what sort of energy they were producing. It was producing enough to power not 78,000, but 780 on the days when it was windy. So what happens to all those other, you know, tens of this is suicidal. It's mad.
It's all designed to control what you do and how much you do and where you do it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because you won't be able to afford it, David. You will not be able to afford the electric car.
Oh, no, that's why they want you into electric cars.
Yeah.
So listen, I'm conscious of time. Yeah. So anyway, the Twindemic, Monkey Boy and Dr. What's-His-Name, they forecast it as a satirical spoof, and now it's happening in front of our eyes if you're prepared to believe everything you read, which you really shouldn't. Now I want to now take you on all on a journey. Stick with me in this one. We're going to stick in it. We're going to go on a journey because, I haven't flown internationally now since this whole scam thing, this whole medical emergency came in back in 2020. But I was thinking maybe I should take myself on Virgin Atlantic, because Virgin Atlantic have come out with an exciting new policy, Jed. I wonder, pray tell, David.
I'm on tenterhooks.
Because I mean, you know, it's Virgin Atlantic. They've got their finger on the pulse, and they know that the most important thing to prospective passengers wanting to go from point A to point B, it's not how quickly can they, you know, how on time can the flight be, how attentive can the service be on board,
how cheap?
No, Jen.
The meals.
The magazine,
flight magazine. Come on, it must be about that. No.
No, it's
the toilets. The toilets. No, they're big enough for two.
No, none of that.
Okay. The captain comes and talks to you.
Bring up the picture. Let's bring it up. Let's show the folks.
I wonder what this was.
So Virgin Atlantic have decided that they're going to have an all-gender dress policy. So as you know, hello, Big Vern, by the way. Good to see you, my friend. James Jameson as well. Catch me. I do see you. Sorry if I haven't shouted you out. Virgin Atlantic have decided, look, if male flight attendants want to wear the red skirts that up until this point, the female ones have worn. Jed, you shouldn't bring these images up without warning me. If they want to wear skirts, why shouldn't they wear skirts? And by the same token, if the female attendants want to dress in male suits, well, so should they. And furthermore, it's not just cabin staff. It applies to pilots. It applies to ground staff. And furthermore, Jed, and I'm sure this is something that you really appreciate. Yeah. When passengers are going to check into Virgin Atlantic, you will be offered a pronoun badge, which I know a lot of us are very concerned about getting our pronoun badges with
Yeah, mine's F-U.
So, I just wonder anyway, I mean, folks watching this, Virgin said this is them being inclusive, being non-judgmental. All their staff are going to go on mandatory inclusivity training because, yeah, Gemma, we need that asteroid of death. That's what Gemma O'Doherty, why I was annoyed when NASA claimed that they sent the spacecraft to divert the asteroid. Because I think at this point in the human race, if a big bloody asteroid hit this planet, would it be the worst thing? Yeah, I'd probably take my chances, to be honest. But unfortunately, NASA did claim that they'd done that. But
we still have Bruce Willis, David, for Armageddon.
Yeah.
And he'll go up there, David, and he'll save us. I know he will.
Well, Jed, do you fancy going Virgin Atlantic then and being served by a bearded bloke in a skirt?
No, I think the only Virgin I would like is my 40 before. Is it 40 or 70? I don't know. You know, if I become a martyr. No, David, it's such a garbage. It's, again, another corporation jumping on the wokeness, thinking it's the right thing to do. And at some point in the future, they will realise it's the wrong thing to do. They'll have to apologise for constant mistakes that they've made by misgendering, miss that and the other, whatever it might be, and they'll back down just like the Essex police had to do over the paedophile rapist who was jailed for historic crimes, and they called him a she. And then when people went, no, it's a man, they threatened the public with a criminal offence, even though it's not a crime to call a man a man and a woman a woman.
There is the fundamental biology, which of course, but I think, yeah, if you bring it up, there you go. Virgin Atlantic staff can choose which uniform to wear, no matter their gender. And I've got to say it, Jed, if I was boarding a flight and I seen the captain in a skirt, and I'm assuming that it was a male, obviously, if I was, I'd probably not want to go on that flight, because I'd be thinking, if this person can't really distinguish something like basic biology, do I think they could direct the plane in the right direction? I'm not sure.
What you got to bear in mind is if you watch 7-4 Gear, which I do on YouTube, is a really good guy. He does a lot of aviation stuff. That's what his channel's based about. They don't do much flying, David. Most of it's computerized nowadays. But the point is, you're right. If somebody has a mental illness, do you really want them flying you? That's the fundamental question you have to ask yourself.
But here's another angle. Let me run this one by you then. So this is all about being inclusive and making sure that...
It's not, David. It's about being exclusive. It's about excluding people. It's about excluding people that don't fall into the LGBT... Oh. Well, not even LGBT. It's just the T.
Right, let me get my point out before you get in. Right, you beat me to it. Because what I was going to say was, okay, so they say it's about inclusivity. We know it's different. It's not that. But they say that, right? But so that they're sending the staff so they can understand to use the right pronouns, right? But here's the thing. If you are like what I would call a normal person, what do you mean, that's racist? City troll. I'm anti-racist. It would hurt my feelings for people to be appearing with pronouns. It would hurt my feelings, Jed, to have blokes with beards and dresses serving me on the flight. So what about my feelings and your feelings? So when they're talking,
that doesn't matter. That's the point, David.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't. No, stop. Stop thinking logically. Stop having common sense. How dare you? In fact, you need to put your common sense back in the closet, David. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm well.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, this LGBT, and particularly the T, has nothing to do with inclusivity and diversity. Absolutely nothing. Because the T hates the LGB. Yeah, 100%. You can't be a lesbian. You can't be a woman that fancies a woman. You can't be gay, a guy that fancies a guy, because you have to be trans. And if you're not trans, you're a bigot. Yeah. And therefore, if you're a straight male, straight female, and it's not cis, it's male and female, then you're a bigot too.
Well,
if you're a man and you don't want to have sex with, it's just like Ricky Gervais said, about that guy that's just been locked up. Yeah. He put her penis inside her. Yeah. That's the stupidity that we're at now.
Well, James Jameson over on YouTube asks a really interesting question, which I want to put up, Jed. Thanks for putting that one up. If a plane goes down with 10 women and 10 trans women on board, how many women are identified by the crash recovery team? Well, James, we can't answer that on YouTube, but I think we know what the answer to that one is. And we elsewhere, do. I'm sure.
Because archaeologists have been told not to gender skeletons.
But that's mad.
Because it's sexist.
No, it's mad. Imagine saying that. I mean, and because they know, these real activist folks know, Jed, that throughout the entire history, if you dig up skeletons and you do your gene dating and all of that stuff, it turns out that there are two genders. I'm sorry about upset you, but that's historically has been the case. So Stu Frost says, will Tehran Airlines be following suit? Doubt it.
I don't think they were suits, do they? Oh, sorry.
And then Canadian Mum says, let Virgin fly into the Middle East. That's exactly brilliant. Anyway.
This is what we're going to get. The England captain's going to wear that rainbow, isn't he? Yeah, when he goes to Qatar.
Brave
and stunning. Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you now, it probably will last one game.
So we're going to wrap things up in a second, but just before I go, there was a couple of things that just popped into my mind, Jed, on a separate non-gender related issue. Non-gender skeletons, James. Get with the gig. I put this up on my Getter. I don't know if you, Biden is the gift that keeps giving. Honest to God.
Biden is awesome.
Did you see, folks, American friends will understand this. I misgendered him. Oh, noes. Well, anyway, if he wants to be a woman, let him be. But Biden was given a speech there. This is the most, one of the very recent one I put up, Jed, where it's tragic, really. He's talking to an audience, and he's looking for Jackie. He says, Where's Jackie? Jackie's dead. The Jackie that he refers to is a congresswoman who died in August. And Joe Biden, I don't know if you folks have seen this clip, but it's definitely sitting on my, I think on my Getter. And actually, it might oddly enough, Jed, be on my YouTube as well. If you go into my YouTube shorts, you'll probably find it there. But I thought to myself, someone says they're getting an echo from me. Let me know if the echo goes away. Sometimes there's little issues like this, but let's not stop the flow. So Biden actually is introducing and looking for Jackie in the audience. Where's Jackie?
I've got it.
And Jackie's dead. Let's just knock this up for the folks, Jed. Trinity City Troll, right. Here we go. If we can get this to play.
You know so much about this as well, and you're committed. And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
She was going to be here.
So much about this as well, and you're committed.
Yeah, she was going to be there, but she died 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, she, do you know what I mean? Like, it is one of his worst. It is really, I mean, this is dementia. It's scary. You know, and again, on a serious, I mean, I know it's funny, Donnie girl. I mean, it's hilarious. But I remember my mother died of dementia. And I can remember in the final years, she used to talk about, she'd seen people who were long dead, but in her mind, they were still alive. And I think those who have had experience of this will understand that this is a clear symptom of dementia. So where's Jackie? Jackie, she was going to be here. Well, Joe, if Jackie had been there, you'd have been in for one hell of a surprise. Let's put it like that, because she was killed in a car accident.
Oh, yeah, because she wouldn't have any air to sniff. Oh, sorry.
Tragically, she was killed in a car accident. So, you know, I'm not saying anything about Jackie Walorski, I think, who is her name. But I'm saying something about the U.S. president who you know, so that was a really, really weird one. So, you know, he City Troll makes a comment, doesn't mean she won't be voting. Actually, City Troll it means that she definitely will be voting. She will be casting her vote.
No, she should be voting Democrat.
Ernest Haringey says Biden is already brain dead. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this guy. He's just gone.
He's lost
I think we tend to talk about this a lot on our Thursday stream, which we do over on Podbean, but which we simultaneously broadcast here. But you know, I just can't see these midterms ending up well for the Democrats unless they're fortified, like the 2020 election was fortified. YouTube. Someone says, remember, if the button is pressed, he isn't the one who pushed it. He'd be blamed, but a patsy is always needed. I don't think, Biden's out of the game completely, which is really interesting, because if the Republicans can't score on this one, they'll never score. So there is that.
I agree, David.
So I wanted to talk about that. And then the final thing. I thought, Jim O'Doherty and I talked about this. And I wanted to emulate Gemma and rain on everybody's parade, because I'm bad like that. And this is relation to Giorgio Meloni, the leader of the Brothers of Italy, which, as you know, topped the poll in the Italian elections on Sunday with 26% of the vote. And she did very well. And I was very pleased at the time, because she seemed to be pro-faith, pro-family, borders, controlled immigration and all of that. That all seemed fine. And then, of course, you discover after the event that, what was the first thing she did? What did what did Giorgio do? First act. She was on the old phone. Hey, Vladimir, put me through to Zelensky. Zelensky, I can't do the accent. I can't do multiple accents. I can't do any accents, actually. But her first thing was to warmly, grazie Italia. Yeah, I mean, maybe grazie World Economic Forum as well. Because it turns out, first of all, she thanks Zelensky and tells him that she's 100% supported to Italy continuing to send arms to Ukraine. So that's a big warning.
And backhanders on it, David. There's money to be made. Money to be made at both ends of that transaction.
Yeah.
Zelensky's making a fortune, and so are the governments that are paying it.
Yeah, but I have to question her. And actually, I see Mark Green. Hi, Mark, over on YouTube, saying he's just seen that the new Italian leader, Meloni, is part of the Aspen Institute. And the Aspen Institute is funded by, Bill and Melinda Gates. So I don't know a lot about the Aspen Institute yet. I need to find out more about that. But I think, again, and this is where I'm so aligned with Gemma, and it's one of the things, someone says, I think it's Georgia. You do a great Belfast accent. Hey, I'm Italian. What do you mean, Belfast accent, Ernest Haringey? You're banned in a
perpetuity. I can speak Italian, David.
Can you?
Pizza, pasta.
Yeah, 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 You're gonna have to probably raise the game a bit.
Leonard Walsh. Okay. I can tell me, my good lady wife, I'm multilingual. I can understand American. Yeah. I can get a beer in Germany and a taxi and something to eat in Germany. What else do I need? Yeah, I can speak Italian. Yeah, Parmesan. There's another Italian word. I can speak French. Oh, sorry, French.
It was the Duke of Wellington, I think, who famously observed that he could speak different languages as well. He said he spoke, he spoke Italian to his lover. He spoke, Latin to his wife, and he spoke French to his horse because he hated the French. You see, Wellington, some great quotes from Wellington actually, but I'm just reading some of the comments. Scotland the Brave says Italian women are wild. Well, I don't know. I think, Melanie, what we have to do is, I don't trust any of them. Number one, don't put your faith in politicians. There's other things you should put your faith in. And secondly, you should, we'll judge her by what she does, not by what she says. But so far, I'm not overly impressed. I think I picked up a tweet, Jed, from Narendra Modi in the Indian Prime Minister. And again, she was saying, thanks for the congratulations. We need to work on these global problems.
David, what you're going to, again, you see, it's the same thing over and over again, isn't it? You get a new leader in that the people have voted for. Yeah. I think, she's going to be changed or he's going to be changed. And actually, they turn out to be the same. And the reason being is the deep state that supports every single government never changes. So our civil service never changed. But look who was stood at the side of Liz Truss in New York. The same guy that was sabotaging the Brexit deal talks in Brussels. I forget his name, but he's a silver-haired guy. Yeah, and he is a civil servant that was deliberately sabotaging the talks in Brussels, yet he stood aside. That's the problem. It's not the leaders. It's the civil service or the deep state behind them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Jed. We've talked about this before. This is the shadow government, isn't it? The deep state is the government of the UK.
Yeah, that's right. The people you see, are just front people.
They're dummies in the shop window. They're dummies in the shop window. And I see a lot of folks talking about the Aspen Institute. So we might do some more digging on the Aspen Institute and come back to that. But ultimately, Jed, as I say, we will judge our friend Georgia or Giorgio or whatever by what she does. It'll be interesting to watch. But we're here, at least in the alternative media. We're not uncritical, Jed. We're prepared to say if somebody does something wrong, we will say it. We'll call it out. We're not slaves. We're not just going to go Trump is wonderful in everything he does, because he's not. And in this case, Maloney. Is she wonderful? I'm not so sure she is. We'll find out. But anyway, listen, before we go, folks, Jed and I we always want to leave you with...
I do have a funny to leave on, David, but I have some business to do first.
Before we get... This is more important than... It is more important than anything in the universe. So everybody, pay attention to this, right? As you know, because we want to enrich your life and because we're all one big family, we've actually decided to, I'm just reading comments here as I'm speaking, to set up a shop for our merchandise. And we're going to just quickly show you it. We've got all kinds of stuff you can see here. Just scroll on up, Jed. We've got the Let's Go Brandon stuff. Keep on going. We've got podcast stuff. If you listen to the podcast, we've got Pure Blood. Look for your phone. A popular one here we have, Jed, is the water bottle. If you're a pure blood, and if you haven't, there you go. You can get these things, and some people have, by the way. So a big thank you to people who actually do this. And of course, at a serious level, we got all these. These are popular. I mean, for this autumn and winter, when you're going to be freezing because they've turned the heat off, why not get a hoodie? Why not get a Pure Blood hoodie? Let them know that you resisted and you did not comply. So if you can do that, if you want to support us, and of course, the proceeds for all of this go to set off the, look at this. If you enjoy the podcast and we're steaming towards Jed or 750,000 downloads, so somebody's listening. If you want to have a gain, I mean, this is the ultimate fashion accessory. I mean, the ladies watching this must be just going, yeah, why haven't I got one of those? So Stu says, did I know Anne-Marie is Waters is speaking at the UKIP party conference? No, I didn't. Good luck with that. Of course, Anne-Marie used to be in UKIP. So yeah, we got all this this gear, and it's all over on the store, and the link is below this if you want to go and check it out. Now, Jed, having done that commercial, I said, "Listen, it's a commercial world. What do you think this runs on? Fresh air."
Well, we have to pay the bills, David, and just so everybody knows, guys, I just want to be honest with you here. We don't make any money, so to speak, from what we do and the content that David does and the productions that we put together. It literally just goes to pay the bill, to pay for the software license for this stuff that you're watching us on tonight, etc., etc. Not a single penny have me and David made. We have not even bought ourselves a coffee because every penny goes back into funding the software that we need to run things.
And I have to give a shout out to our friend Nath Pernod on the Getters, who did indeed buy a Pure Blood hoodie for his daughter this week. So as I say, come on, if you're a fashionista, show it. Wear your heart. Well, on your heart. So there's that. Scotland the Brave says, when are you in question time, David? Answer, never, because the BBC has me absolutely banned. Everywhere I'm banned by the BBC, you're not allowed to hear. Not allowed to hear me. Which is I'm so brokenhearted about it. If only I could be part of a shill media. Happy not to be in the BBC. So, Jed, we want to leave people with a laugh. So I think what we'll do is I'll wrap things up. You can play what it is you're going to play. And we will then see you guys if you want to join us tomorrow night between 8 p.m. tomorrow night as well, UK time. And we are going to be shooting the breeze with our good friends, City Troll and Jed and Adrian and myself. And I don't think our friend Ed will be with us. But anyway, there'll be a group of people chatting. So I look forward to that, just as I look forward to this evening. And I think that is it from me. Thank you, everybody, for your continued support. It's much appreciated. You know, we do our best to put out as much content as we can, and hopefully at least you think some of it's probably good. So, Jed, I'll say goodnight to everybody. I'll thank you, Jed, as well. And if you want to cue the video and then we play out. See you folks soon.
See you soon, guys. Enjoy.
About why beer is better than women. I'm allowed to complain about a beer being flat. My lips touch another bottle, my old beer don't get mad. When I'm at a bar, I'm always able to pick up a Bud Light. And beer looks the same in the morning as it did on Friday night. Beer is always ready to leave on time, and that's why beer's never late. And when I want to swap beers, my old beer won't take half my estate. A world where I could just date beer would just be great.